The scripture reading tonight is Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet for a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been a young man, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken for his, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passeth away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him. Thus far we read the Word of God. Tonight may God bless that reading of His Word to our hearts. I call your attention to verse 5 of this psalm as the text we consider tonight. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37 explores a subject that we find in many of the Psalms. In this Psalm, David, as an older man, an experienced man, reflects upon the lot of the wicked here in this world and compares their lot to the lot of the righteous people of God in this world. And David's experience is valuable and is instructive for us, because this psalm, as all psalms, is written to reflect the experience of all of God's people in this world. David experiences and observes something that you have observed, no doubt, in your life here upon this earth. As you look at people who are ungodly and wicked, perhaps you have come to this conclusion too, that they grow in might and power, as David says, and they're spread out as a green bay tree. Or as the psalmist says in Psalm 73, they prosper in the world and increase in riches. And then you look at the righteous, and you're looking at yourself and your own life too, and you make the general observation, so often the righteous suffer. So often the righteous seem to be constricted. And David writes, knowing that this is an observation made by the people of God, by himself and by others. He writes knowing that the temptation is there to look at the wicked and to say they are cared for. They have everything provided for them that they need. And then you look at the righteous and say, they have wants. They are not cared for. But David is a wise old man now. The psalm says, he who was young, he is now old. He who before, perhaps when he looked at this reality that the wicked seemed to prosper and the righteous seemed to suffer, before when he saw that, perhaps fretted, and when the psalm speaks of that, it's speaking of anger, before he would become upset about this, or the psalm also speaks of envy, before he would be jealous of the wicked, David writes this psalm to instruct the people of God and say, now listen to me, I've experienced this. And remember, David is also inspired to write this for the people of God. Don't fret. Don't become angry when you look at your situation and compare it to the wicked. And don't become envious, and don't rise up in jealousy when you see the situation of the wicked. Because David says, I have considered and the Lord has shown me the reality of the situation. And He has shown me His attitude to the wicked and to the righteous. And He's shown me the end of the wicked and of the righteous. The end of the wicked, verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So don't be angry when you see them prosper in this world, and don't be jealous of them. And then consider the end of the righteous, of the people of God. You may find that they're poor in the world. You may find that they are weak. You may find that they are persecuted and that they are pressed and that they are hated by the world in this life. But David says, be sure of one thing. They have something the wicked never have. And they have something that now that I'm an old man, I have learned is the key to peace and happiness, even when the dark storm clouds of life roll in, even in the deepest trial and struggle. The righteous have salvation of the Lord, and they have the hope of the end of eternal life. So it's in this light that David teaches us to commit our way to the Lord. And as we'll see in the sermon, the way that David is speaking about here is the whole of our lives. He's saying, commit your life to the Lord. And our life is filled, we recognize on this prayer day, on the occasion of this prayer day service, our life is filled with work. Our life is filled with toil and labor. And on this prayer day, we recognize that we are completely dependent upon the Lord to prosper that labor so that that labor is not empty and in vain. We recognize on this day that we depend completely upon the Lord to preserve our life here on this earth so that our work is not in vain. And so this is true of every one of us. We ought to commit our way to the Lord, recognizing we depend upon Him. But even more, this psalm recognizes that our life here on this earth is often filled with difficulties. Tonight, we see that we not only need the Lord for daily bread, that we need Him for clothing, for shelter, for all of the necessities of this life, but we see that our need to commit our way to the Lord is even greater and is pressed upon us by the Word of God tonight, as the Word of God says, you can't bear the burdens of life. Not only do you have needs upon which you depend upon, for which you depend upon God, but there are troubles. And we know that. We anticipate that. There are times when a man says, I cannot handle the responsibilities that I have. They're too great. And there are times when a woman says that too. I have too much on my plate. I cannot handle it. And there are even times when perhaps the children and the young people say that too. The burden of life is immense. The psalmist says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So that's what we consider tonight, committing our way to the Lord. We'll notice in the first place our burdensome way. Secondly, our committing of that way to the Lord. And then thirdly, our blessed hope. Commit your way unto the Lord. The way that the psalmist is speaking of here is all of life. All of your life. He speaks here in the singular. Each one of us has a way. That way begins for us at birth, and that way ends at death here on this earth. And everything between birth and death is included in that way. You have your way of life. I have my way of life. And David, when he speaks here of your way or thy way in the singular, he is including everything that is involved in life here on this earth. There is a certain sense in which we speak of our ways, and the Bible does that. The ways of man. And that means that we have life here on this earth that involves many different aspects. But David now isn't looking at certain parts of your life over against other parts. He's saying, take your life as a whole, your whole life and everything that it involves, and commit that to the Lord. That way is the way that is perfectly planned by God. If we're going to consider our way of life tonight, we need to understand that that way is all set forth in God's perfect plan and His counsel, and it is a way that God directs in His power every moment of our lives. Every single activity, every single step of your life is planned and directed by God. He planned the beginning of your way, your birth. He plans the end of your way and everything in between those two things. That means that everything in your life is part of your way. You look at your job, your calling, that's part of your way that the psalmist is speaking of. You look at your station in life. Your station, every moment of your life, that station, that calling, that position you have in life changes. You begin as a child in a godly home. After a few years, you take up a position in the Christian school. And then as you mature, you take up your position perhaps in the world, in the workforce, or you take up a special position in the home. And you have a position in the church. And you have relationships with friends and with family. All of this belongs to your way, your life here on this earth. And the Lord sovereignly is in control of it all. So the psalmist recognizes that we need to commit all of life and calls us to commit all of life to God. And the psalmist explains here more than that, though. So far, we have noticed what is true of everyone. Everyone has a way that is planned by God and is directed by God. But when the psalmist is saying, commit thy way to the Lord, he is speaking very specifically about the way of the child of God. You see, it's true that every person in the world has a way planned and directed by God. But here the psalmist is speaking to the Israel of God. He's speaking to the people of God. And he's saying to the people of God, commit thy way. And this is where, though we can all say that we all have a different way, and from a certain point of view, my way is different from your way, and his way is different from my way, and her way is different from my way. But from a certain point of view, this is where our way is the same. For you see, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you're a doctor or a lawyer, a father or a mother, a child, or an adult. When the psalmist is speaking about the way here, he is speaking about the way of God's people. And that way is not the way of the ungodly. Here's where the antithesis comes in the psalm. The psalmist is saying there's a sharp contrast between the wicked and the righteous. Their way is the way of sin. Their way is the way of self-service and of pride. Their way is the way of gratifying the flesh. Their way is the way of greed, of taking even from the godly so that they can have more. That's not our way. There's a sharp antithesis here tonight. Your way of life, you must understand as a child of God, is not only a way that's sovereignly directed and planned by God, but your way of life is to be the way of godliness that is spoken of here in the psalm. Your way is to work just like the ungodly people in the world. Yes, but here's the antithesis. Your way is to work not for greed or for self-promotion, but your way is to work for the glory of God, for the good of His kingdom. Your way then is to be obedient to the employer at work, to be kind to the other employees at work for God's sake. Your way is to be in the home as a mother to care for the children, not just to feed and to clothe them. That's the way for all of the people in the world. But as mother and as parents, your way with regard to the rearing of your children is to discipline them and instruct them in the fear of the Lord. And your way as children must be the way of the antithesis. You too are called not to have the way or to follow the way of the ungodly. Your way is to gather with your friends, and to be holy in your conversation and in all of your activities. Your way is not to gather together on a Friday night so that you can have a time of free fun to do whatever you want. Your way, as the children of God, is the way of godliness and in right and righteousness in all of your activities. The psalmist points us to the antithesis. Is that your way? Is the psalmist speaking to you tonight when he says, thy way is different from the way of the ungodly? For you see, it's not the ungodly man, not the man who lives for self, not the man who is denying the Lord and walking in sin who can come to the Lord and say, I commit thy way to thee. Because the Lord is going to say to that man, I don't know thee, and I won't take your way. But it's the godly man who confesses that he needs God and confesses his sin and seeks to turn from that sin. He's the man that the psalmist says, bring thy way to the Lord and commit it to Him. Is that you? Can you say tonight that when David speaks about his way, the way of the antithesis, that that's your way in life? And that David then is calling you to commit your way to the Lord. That way is the way that God has set out for us that He controls. And it's the way in which we seek to serve God. But the psalmist also explains and describes that way as a way that is burdensome. The psalm speaks of this. And it is explained in that word, commit thy way unto the Lord. What the psalmist is saying here is, roll the burden of your way on the Lord. Roll upon Him the burdens of your life. The idea is very vivid and quite striking. We all have burdens, and sometimes we speak of carrying these burdens and these trials. What the psalmist is speaking of is the fact that these burdens have become so great that we've stopped carrying them. They're so heavy we can't lift them anymore. We've dropped them on the ground. And the only way that we can move is to push this great weight of our burdens. And you can't move anywhere on your life's pathway without taking this boulder, this great rock of burdens with you. To go anywhere, you need to push your burdens. The psalmist is speaking about the difficulty of life here on this earth. And it's the confession that he makes and that every child of God must make about our way in life is that the way is too heavy for us. We can't make it on our own. We can't move on our own. And this is the confession of the child of God. The burdens are so heavy, I cannot handle them on my own. But that's not all the psalmist is telling us. We can all say that. You can talk to people in the world and others in the church, and many people will tell you about the great burdens that they have in their lives. And you think of your own, and I think of my own burdens. Perhaps sometimes it's just one thing that's going on in our lives. One great difficulty. Perhaps it's a financial problem. Or perhaps it's a sickness. Or a strained relationship in the home that causes such grief and that is so burdensome that we say, yes, this is me. My life is filled with a burden that I can't move. Or sometimes And this is often the way it is for me. It's not one thing, it's the multiplication of responsibilities and duties in life. There's so many burdens, so many responsibilities that it's hard to know how to put one foot in front of the other foot. And often many of us can say, oh yeah, life is filled with burdens. But this too is part of the antithesis, the difference between the ungodly and the godly. It's not only that the godly recognize that there are burdens in this life, but it's that the godly come to the point when they say, and these burdens are too much for me. You see, the ungodly are self-reliant. They don't need Jehovah. But the godly come to the point where they say, I need Him. I can't put one foot in front of the other. The way is burdensome for the godly because they confess sin. The knowledge of sin is the burden that the righteous carry with them and that presses them greatly. They know their sin and their guilt, and they see it as a crushing weight. The difference. It's the antithesis between the godly and the ungodly. David says in Psalm 38, verse 3, there is no soundness in my bones, in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. You see, the burden of the way for the godly carrying their sin and the knowledge of sin in this life, the ungodly don't know that. They ignore their sins. And the godly confess their weakness. We live each day confessing that we can't bear the burden of God's wrath for our sins. We can't bear the punishment that we deserve for our sins. In fact, it goes even deeper than that. Not only do we confess we can't bear the burden of our sins, but knowing the truth, we come to the realization that we can't handle anything on our own. Do you see that in what David is saying here? David is saying not only is the great crushing affliction that you might have in your life too much for you to bear, but even the smallest little duty or obligation you have in your life is too much for you. The child of God, when he's ready to commit his way to the Lord, begins to say, everything in my way is too much for me. I can't even get out of bed in the morning. I can't even make breakfast. I can't even dress myself without the Lord. David recognized that even the smallest things in life require dependence upon God. And that sometimes even those little things can be too much of a burden for us to bear. Maybe you've experienced that. And if you haven't, don't judge those who struggle with the little things. Don't be unsympathetic and say, well, come on, you should be able to handle that. Because the reality of what David is speaking of here in this psalm is that we really cannot do anything. You know, that's what Jesus teaches us when he teaches us to pray for daily bread. Dealt with that subject in catechism tonight. Why does Jesus teach us to pray for daily bread? What does it cost? $2 a loaf? We can't take care of that ourselves. $2? Buy our own bread? Jesus says, no, you depend upon God for even that. And that's why David comes here and says, commit your everything to the Lord. Then this is part of the burden too that David is speaking of. The godly are pressed with the weight of their knowledge of their sins. They're pressed with the weight of the knowledge of their weakness. And then they also are hated by the world. That's the reality that David is speaking of here in the psalm. To be oppressed, to be persecuted, to be hated for the sake of the Lord. The ungodly will be afflicted. That's the truth of the Scriptures. And that's a burden. It is. And the burden of that too is that that hatred is experienced with our, within ourselves, within our own flesh. For the world is not, you understand, just out there. That world is found in our own hearts, in our own old man of sin. So that we recognize this is our calling to serve the Lord and to be godly and to be sanctified and holy. And we find that that's a burden for us because we find in our own selves we don't want to be godly. And that our old man wants to bring us into the way of sin. And so it's a constant struggle, and we wake up each morning saying, today I am called to serve the Lord, but I can't do it. Not for a moment. What are we to do then? Our sins are against us. We're weak. The world is against us. Our own flesh is against us. This is our way in the world. It's a burdensome way. It's like a great boulder that's blocking our path. Do we give up? Perhaps we even join the ungodly, become angry, become jealous of the ungodly. The psalmist says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Roll your life and all of your burdens into His arms. Let the hand of the Lord lift you up and all of your burdens. The psalmist is, in a sense, saying, give up on yourself. Give up on your own strength and your own power and place your trust in the Lord. Put your job in the Lord's hands. Put your calling, put your family, put your church relationships. Put all of your struggles, put all of your afflictions, take them all and roll them onto the Lord. And trust also in Him, the psalmist says. David is explaining here that one aspect of our committing our way to the Lord is trusting in Him. Trust also in Him, that is, make Jehovah God. The God of heaven and of earth, make Him the object of your trust. Make Him the object of your confidence. Believe in Him and understand that He will care for you. And we understand that David is saying this to us in light of the reality that we all have an object in which we place our trust. We all look to something. We all use something in our lives to say, now this is what makes everything seem okay. This is what makes me have hope. Everything is going to be all right. And the psalmist says, whatever your object is, the one object should be and must be Jehovah God. Put your trust in Him and not in anything else. For what else can we do with the burdens of life? That great big boulder, can we roll it upon our money? Can we roll that burden of our life upon our bank accounts and say, now because of that money, I'm assured that everything's going to be okay and I'll never have any problem again. No. The psalmist says, the wicked prosper. They have money. But it doesn't gain them anything. Their life will be taken away from them and they'll have nothing. Maybe roll that on another man. Roll that burden upon someone else in the church. Parents, pastor, elders, friends. They can help, give advice. Wisdom and guidance and help perhaps push that boulder. But they all have their own boulder. They all have their own burdens that they can't push themselves, and so they can't take up your burdens either. Trust Jehovah, the all-knowing God, the God who knows all of your needs better than you know them and better than you can even explain them to Him in prayer. Trust in Jehovah God, who is wise, who has planned everything for your good. Trust in Jehovah, who even knows the future, and so you can put the future in His hands. Your future that sometimes you lay in bed at night worrying about, anxiously wondering what's coming tomorrow. The psalmist says, don't leave that burden on yourself. Put that burden on the Lord. Jehovah, who is also all-powerful, who is able to supply us all that we need, and more than we even think He is able. And He's able to carry our burdens. Our burdens that are so great we can't even lift them up anymore. All we can do is push them. Maybe roll them forward an inch or two. The Lord, He has the everlasting, all-powerful arms. He's able to lift up our burdens and to lift us up. And they're nothing to Him. In fact, He controls them. Trust in Him. Commit your way to Him. And on this night of prayer day, we understand and must see that the way to put our trust in Him and to commit our way to Him is through prayer. Have you done that? Is that your practice every morning and every day? To get up in the morning and recognize that your way is filled with burdens that you can't bear. And that your way is a way that you cannot possibly make any progress in without the Lord. It requires a prayer of humility, where you bow down before God and say, I'm not sufficient, Lord. I'm not. Not for all of the responsibilities and the duties that I have here in this life. I need Thee. And committing our way into the Lord also requires confidence. It's where we put away all trust in ourselves and give up on ourselves, but we turn to the Lord and say, in faith, that's what trust is, faith to say, Lord, I know that Thou art able to care for me. I know that Thou art able to take my burdens away. And if Thou art not willing to take them away, sometimes He's not willing, I know that Thou art able to carry that burden so that it doesn't crush me, and that Thou art able to carry me with the burden. And that confidence is a confidence that is rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ. A confidence in which we say to God in prayer, I know that Thou art willing and able to help me because Thou hast lifted the burden of my sins which threatened to crush me off of me through Jesus Christ. For you see, it's through His death on the cross, through the payment that He made for sins, that burden that would crush us has been lifted off from us and has been lightened. Our load has been lightened forever. And so the psalmist is teaching us, and tonight we see that in the activity of prayer, we take our burdens that we can't even lift anymore and we roll them onto Jehovah God. The ungodly don't understand that. The ungodly do not acknowledge God. And do you see where that leaves them? That leaves them there with their great heap of burdens in front of them, waiting to crush them. When we pray, we roll our burdens on God, and He picks them and us up. Have you experienced that? David did. He who was young but now who is old could say, my burdens were great. I had to run from Saul. I was anointed king and I wondered if I'd ever become king. I had to run from my own son Absalom. My burdens were great, but none of them crushed me because I committed my way to the Lord and He carried me through. And if you're like David and you have committed your way to the Lord, you've experienced that. What a wonderful thing. You know that in your own life that the Lord has not only given you everything that you need, bread, food, shelter, but that He has been there carrying you through every moment of your lives. And part of what makes that light for us is the hope that the psalmist gives us here in the passage when he speaks of the promise of God. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The Lord shall do. The Lord shall accomplish. He shall fulfill His purpose for you in your life. Our way, you understand, is not just our way, but it's the Lord's way, the psalmist is really telling us. It's the way that He has planned, the way that He is governing, and the way that He is going to bring to the end that He has planned for it. And what is that end? For the ungodly, destruction. But for the people of God, it's salvation. That's really what the psalmist is pointing towards. The hope of the righteous. He's pointing towards heaven. He's pointing to the reality that the Lord is not only going to carry you as His people throughout your whole life and way here on this earth, so that your burdens don't crush you. One day He's going to take those burdens, and He's going to toss them away so that you forget them forever. What's the connection between this hope and our committing our way unto the Lord? Is it that the Lord is waiting to lift that burden off of us until we come to Him and give Him our life and our burdens? Or is it perhaps that the Lord is waiting upon us to fulfill this condition so that He can fulfill this promise and fulfill this hope for us? No. God works in us so that we commit our way to Him. God works in us so that we can commit our way to Him. So that our way and that our sins wouldn't belong to us alone. God sent Jesus Christ to take our sins away from us and to open up for us the right to come to Him and commit our way to Him. But that's not all that He has done. Not only does the Lord open the way for us to go and commit our way to Him, but He's the one who draws us, who calls us, who irresistibly, powerfully says, come to Me and give Me thy burdens, and I will lift you up. You've experienced that, then you know that the afflictions of this life are light. They really are. And you know that you have the hope of heaven, and that God is holding you. Underneath you are the everlasting arms to carry you through all of the afflictions of life. But you also know where He is carrying you. And that is to heaven. And it's in that light that the Scriptures often tell us our burdens, they're nothing. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 could say, For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh up for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then he could also say in Romans 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. They're light. These afflictions are light in comparison with the end that the Lord is going to accomplish for us in heaven. How could the apostle say this? Because, beloved, he committed his way. He rolled his afflictions upon the Lord. And therefore he could say, my life here on this earth may not become any better. I might not escape persecution. I may not escape even death. But I know the end the Lord has in store for me. Because I've committed my way to Him. These burdens will end. And then those afflictions were light to the apostle. And so when we commit our way to God, we know He's paid for our sins. We don't have to bear the burden of them. We know we won't be crushed, not by God. And because He holds us, oh, we won't be crushed by anything. Commit thy way to the Lord and know your afflictions are light. Amen. Father in heaven, use thy word tonight to give us direction. Use thy word even to powerfully lead and draw us. Draw us away from relying upon ourselves or relying upon anything else in this world besides thee. And give unto us the strength to roll our burdens upon thee. And then give us rest. And give us hope that our labors will not be in vain, but that thou wilt save us and bring us to eternal life with thee in heaven. Grant unto us the strength then to continue on in our life's activities, knowing that we may not give up, that we may not sit still, that we must work as we put our hope in Thee. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.